Time now to take a look at the international newspapers. We're joined on set for that by Leo McGuinn. And Leo, you're going to start in Israel, where the government has announced a boycott against one of the country's leading newspapers.
Well, this is the front page of Haaretz this morning, as you say, Eve, one of Israel's biggest newspapers. You can see the headline there. Cabinet urges sanctions, cuts ties and adds. The paper has been very critical of the government in the past, and particularly Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And yesterday, an approval was greenlit by Netanyahu himself, prohibiting any government-funded body from communicating with Haaretz or placing advertisements in the paper. This is the government's official explanation. They call it a reaction to many editorials that have hurt the legitimacy of the State of Israel and its right to self-defence. It's particularly prompted by the remarks made in London by Haaretz publisher Amos Shokan. Shokan accused the Israeli government of imposing a cruel apartheid on the Palestinian people. The government accused him of promoting terrorism. I'll show you just one of the articles that is said to have really incensed the government and Netanyahu himself. This comes from earlier this month. This editorial that states deliberately harming civilians is illegitimate, essentially calling Israel's attacks terrorism. Haaretz themselves, as you can see, haven't gone overboard with any sort of reaction. They have published this statement, though. This is another step in Netanyahu's journey to dismantle Israeli democracy, like his friends Putin, Erdogan and Orban. Netanyahu is trying to silence a critical independent newspaper. Haaretz will not balk and will not morph into a government pamphlet that publishes messages approved by its government and its leader.
Interesting. Moving on, Leo. And there's an important environmental summit taking place in South Korea. Plastic not so fantastic anymore.
Plastic not so fantastic indeed. And this news, unsurprisingly, makes the front page of many Korean newspapers this morning. This is the Korea Herald, one of the country's biggest English language newspapers. You can see that impressive picture on the front there. I'll see if you can bring you a bigger image. So that's members of 16 environmental organisations making a human sign on a beach in Busan, which is the country's second biggest city where the summit is being held. It's the fifth session of the Intergovernmental Negotiating Committee. It also makes the front page of the Korea Times this morning. Global attention centres on reducing plastic pollution. That's their headline. The two major issues that they'll focus on at this summit are whether to prioritise the regulation of plastic production or promote reuse, and whether to specify a target year for international plastic agreements. Approximately 3,500 participants will take part in the talks, including government delegations from 170 UN member states. I'll show you an article in The Guardian this morning showing perhaps just how important these talks are. You can see the headline. According to experts, in just 10 years' time, the world will simply be unable to cope with the volume of plastic. This year, various researchers found microplastics in every sample of placenta they tested in human arteries, where plastics are linked to heart attacks and strokes. Use of plastic could triple globally by 2060, with the largest increases expected in sub-Saharan Africa and Asia. Plastic waste also projected to triple by 2060. And according to many, we're very soon going to reach a point of no return.
Indeed, already we've seen it in our oceans, that extra almost continent of plastic that's floating along. Let's move on, though, and across to the United States, where President-elect Donald Trump, never far from the headlines since he was re-elected, today in them because it's reported that he's planning to expel all transgender people from the military.
It's an American story, but interestingly, it's not really being covered in the US press, but it makes quite a splash across the British dailies this morning. It's a headline in The Times, Trump's to axe transgender troops from US forces on day one. It's also made a spread in The Telegraph this morning. The news comes from defence sources who say that the president is planning to sign an executive order which could lead to the removal of all transgender members of the US military, and it could be actioned on the very first day of Trump's second term in office, the 20th of January. It will mean the loss of 15,000 personnel who'd be discharged on medical grounds, marked as unfit to serve. This at a time where the army are really struggling to recruit. In fact, almost all branches of the American armed forces are failing to meet their recruitment targets. It would also lead to a ban on trans people joining the military. The ban is expected to be wider ranging than the one Trump had in place in his first stint. Back then, Trump prevented transgender people from joining the armed forces, but those already in the armed forces kept their jobs. President Biden rescinded that. But this time, even those with decades of service will be removed from their posts. Trans people already serving in the military say that, as well as causing significant personal hardship, this would be disastrous for the armed forces.
Finally, Leo, you bring us to Egypt, where the government there is taking on a travel blogger.
Yeah, an American blogger versus the state of Egypt. A tale as old as time, really. This is in the New York Times this morning. It's the story of Ben Schlapping. He runs a fairly big travel blog called 1 Mile at a Time. He visited Egypt last week, and on his way out, he had a few things to say about the airport. I can show you the title of his blog there. Cairo Airport. Is there a worse major airport? As you can see, he didn't love his time there. He called the staff actively hostile. He said there was general chaos. He called the lounges yuck and the dining options weak. He said he couldn't think of a single redeemable quality about the airport. Harsh, but ultimately within his rights as a travel blogger, you would think. Well, not according to the Egyptian government. The Civil Aviation Ministry have reacted with fury, issuing an over 1,000-word response, calling the accusations unfounded, destructive, and also suggesting they're prepared to take legal action. They said the sole reason for his visit was to undermine Cairo. Schlapping responded by saying, "I know Egypt isn't necessarily the most free speech place on the earth, but I wasn't expecting a Pyongyang-esque response." It comes at a time where the country is making a concerted push to double its tourism numbers. They're trying to reach 30 million annual visitors by 2028. So, Eve, if you're planning a visit to Cairo, maybe just be careful with that travel blog of yours. You never know, it could come back to bite you.
Yeah, I'm the person who's on no social media or any blogs of any kind. Leo McGuinn, thanks a lot for that look at the international papers.